Lesson 2. Get into your body. Practices for inner body awareness.
If you've been to a talk or retreat before, you know that I often point out at this stage that you should check within to see if you are waiting for something to happen. Waiting for the talk to start. What does that mean, waiting? It means there's a little bit of inner strain, a slight, very tiny inner stress that pulls you away from here and now. Expressed facially, could be like and when you notice that, then you know something about your relationship with the present moment. You lost it. The end of a relationship. Now, did he or she leave you, or did you leave him or her? He or she doesn't leave you, you left. The waiting is so subtle and so all-pervasive as one's normal state of consciousness that most people don't even know that they're in an almost continuous state of waiting. That's how normal it is. Once you detect it in yourself as a slight tension, strain, stress. Sometimes there's a little bit of irritation mixed in. A thought mixed in. Come on, let's get on with it. We only have a couple of hours this morning. Come on. But if you notice it in yourself as a mental energy field, even some emotion may go with it. Irritation is an emotion. Thoughts go with it occasionally. The moment you notice it, something has arisen that is not part of that deeply conditioned mind pattern. The seeing of it is not part of it. The seeing of it, and that's the seeing of any pattern in yourself, is not part of the pattern. And the seeing, the recognizing of it, requires you to be present, aware at this moment, awake. So when you see a pattern in yourself, mental, emotional, conditioned, of course, Now, the waiting is a collective pattern. Almost everybody has that. There may be other patterns in you that you detect that are to do with your personal life. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be the simplest thing. When you see a man with a beard and dark hair, you feel anxious, and then you realize that maybe he looks like your father and you didn't have a good relationship with him. So any pattern, collective or personal, when you detect it, you can. There's something more at that moment than that which you see. There is the seeing of it. Before, the pattern absorbed your consciousness completely. You wear it. You become it. You are the waiting, anxious, somewhat irritated person. There's no space around the irritation, around the stress of that moment. There's no space around it. You are in it. And then suddenly you see it. And one could say it is a stepping back, perhaps the deeper meaning of retreat. Because you're retreating not only from the world that you usually move in, you have to retreat also from the world in your head. You step back. And something arises that is not conditioned, and that is pure, simple, pure, miraculous consciousness, awareness, presence, whatever you want to call it. And that is the part in you that is not conditioned. Everything else is conditioned. The seeing, that is an energy field. I'm using seeing metaphorically. It's not necessarily with your eyes. The noticing, the seeing, you may feel it without, but there is the presence in which it is felt, which means suddenly there's space around that. And so it could be anything that you notice in yourself. It could be compulsive behavior, this or that, compulsive reaction. Almost everything is compulsive. Well, everything is compulsive when you are not there as the witnessing presence. Your entire movement of thought is compulsive. You can't stop, or you think you can't stop. And the mind loves to tell you that you cannot stop and make a problem out of that, which leads to further thinking. Why can't I stop my mind? I mean, that's what's wrong with me. I've been doing meditation for years. I've been coming to, and I still can't do it. There's no point in going on, is there? And then you believe in every thought. There's no point in going on. I might as well chuck it all in. And then suddenly you step back and you watch those thoughts. So this is the arising of something new in you. New in the sense that you hadn't noticed that dimension in yourself before. It was there all along, waiting underneath all the conditioned mind movements, but you didn't know it was there. And suddenly it arises. It kind of, at this time in the evolution of the planet and of humanity, that is pushing through from underneath all the conditioned collective stuff that people carry and identify with as themselves, something else is pushing forward from deeper, a deeper dimension within you. It's almost like the eggshell needing to break. Something wants to come out of there. And so there comes a time when the shell, and which is really the shell of that egoic sense of self that consists of identification with thought, needs to break. There is an evolutionary impulse in the universe towards consciousness. And that has been playing itself out on the planet for millions of years. Consciousness expressing itself in ever-changing forms. And through humans, consciousness now wants to come to a flowering that hasn't happened before, never on a large scale, only to a few isolated individuals. And what humans did to them, well, either they ignored them completely, or they killed them, or they made them into gods to be worshipped. And those were only the few individuals in whom this came through almost prematurely, but they were necessary precursors of what was to come, a deeper change. Now, I'm not telling you, of course, to wait for some change to happen on the planet. You know, there are many, many, many times in the history, groups of people have waited for the end or some drastic change. We are not waiting. I'm just pointing out that this gathering here is already part of this transformation, this flowering of consciousness. And anybody who in a so-called future moment, which doesn't exist, listens to this, it'll be in the now. Nobody could ever listen to this anywhere else except in the now, is also part of that transformation of consciousness, because as you listen, something new arises. There is more here than the words. There is that which the words point to, which is here as an alive presence in you. An inner arising. There's more here than the words. If there were only the words, it wouldn't be that much. So consciousness then wants to flower through the human form. Whether it fully will do that on a large scale, we don't know yet. Although it is happening here, there's also the dysfunction of the old form, which is no longer working. Similar to a caterpillar that comes to the end of its lifespan as a caterpillar. And the closer it comes to the end of its lifespan as a caterpillar, the more difficult it gets to continue to... Suddenly the crawling doesn't work anymore. Things don't work anymore. The caterpillar existence becomes dysfunctional. It was fine before, because something new is destined to emerge out of this thing that is bound by gravity, can't even lift itself up one inch. And now the evolutionary transformation, when it happens, is not a progressive thing of getting better and better at doing something in a certain way, but a complete leap to another dimension. So in the case of the caterpillar, it doesn't mean that he gets better at crawling faster and faster. No, that is left behind completely, and something emerges that is it's a different being. Suddenly something comes out of it and it has the most beautiful wings and it flies off. Has almost no weight at all. Has completely transcended the gravity of the planet. And in the case of humans, what does that mean? Humans have been immersed in thinking for thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of years. The arising of thought was a necessary stage in the evolution. It's wonderful side too, to be able to think and speak, which is connected with thinking, words, form words and concepts. And yet gradually, humans lost through that, became totally entangled in it, and they lost their connectedness with something deeper than thought. They perhaps once had it, a deep connection with life. Not the life of form, the formless one life that is the essence of who you are. The one formless life. But that connection humans had in the way that everything natural still has that. But they didn't even know it. It was so natural, they couldn't imagine anything else. They had that deep connectedness in which there's no fear of death. Because there's a deep knowing that there is no death, only the form dissolving. The leaf, all the millions of billions of leaves that we see around us now are all dying. And there's such beauty in their death even. And they are not afraid of death. They just die beautifully. So in humans, thought gradually captured their consciousness so that their whole sense of self became entangled in thought. And then gradually thought itself became more dysfunctional. It created a dysfunctional world. So when you, from the beginning of recorded history, if you read history and are alert, as if you had just come here from another planet and you are reading human history for the first time, you can see that a large part of the human suffering, that is history, is inflicted on humans by other humans. All the wars and murder and cruelties, continuous warfare, except brief interludes, because they got exhausted for a while. And then the most dysfunctional century, the 20th, 100 million dead, killed by other humans. And this is a continuation, the 21st century. So on that level, the old continues. The caterpillar is still trying to have its way. And it's getting more and more difficult. Similarly, we could compare it to the flowering of plants, this incredible beauty that has arisen on the planet through flowers, consciousness expressing itself through this ethereal form of flowers that humans have always recognized as very special. And it's all flowers have had a significance. Well, perhaps the first thing in humanity that was not utilitarian, that you couldn't really eat or do anything with it. And yet they valued that beyond anything that they could do with it. Because deep down, in a very, very deep, distantly, they recognized perhaps beauty there for the first time, when the first human discovered beauty. Ah. But flowers came much later than plants. There were 100 million or 200 million years of plants before the first flower ever opened. I'm told that was about 230 million years ago the first flower opened on the planet. But many millions of years before that, plants already covered the planet. Now, the plants, certain plants flowered, others chose not to flower. And perhaps it will be the same with humanity. Perhaps only part of humanity will go through this inner shift and the other part will say, no, we're okay as we are. But it only requires part of humanity to go through this flowering for the entire energy field of the planet to be transformed. So what humans then are not doing is to continue perfecting the old way. The caterpillar trying to crawl faster and faster, if we use this metaphor for humans, then that would mean humans develop the thinking mind more and more. This is what, of course, they've been trying to do. Let's analyze this, more and more analysis, more and more getting facts and thinking. Okay, how can we solve the problems that we've got? Seem to have a proliferation of problems on the planet. They seem to get more and more, I don't know. And then, okay, let's get together and think and see how we can solve this and analyze this problem, cut it into bits and pieces. Well, this is what they do at universities. They cut the subject matters into tinier and tinier pieces. 100 or 200 years ago, it was more satisfying still to be engaged in intellectual endeavors because you had a wide field. Everybody at university had a huge amount of knowledge. Even the scientists had great knowledge of. They knew Latin and Greek and had knowledge of classical culture and everything. And nowadays, they have knowledge of a tiny segment of their speciality. They can't afford to study anything else. So it's not all that interesting anymore. You could study the you can write a PhD on the leaves of a tree, the leaf of the oak tree. You can do a whole, it's this wonderful phenomenon, of course, the leaf, but to see it in isolation. So everything, the mind cuts it up and it doesn't solve anything. Any solution that it comes up with creates more problems. Okay, now we'll invent a medicine to combat the side effects of this medicine. And then another one to combat the side effects. So the humanity we've really come to the end of the road as far as one particular line of growth or development is concerned. And now the shift needs to happen and is happening to something entirely different, which means thinking will become no longer primary but secondary. You can still think beautifully, but you're no longer trapped in thought. Something arises that is deeper than thought, and that is the butterfly. It's like something suddenly emerging that's so different from what was there before. And some of you have already experienced that in yourself, that shift from there was once this anxious, depressed, or whatever, angry, stressful little me, something else has come and there's been an opening and a spaciousness that wasn't there before or was there but had been obscured continuously. That is the new. And it's from there that you see the old in you, which of course still has its momentum. It has its momentum both on the external level. When you see the news and read the newspapers, then you can see how strong the momentum of the dysfunctional consciousness in humanity still is. And you can see it in yourself occasionally, that the old reactivity, the old reactions, or the waiting for the next thing, the denial of what is, in various ways of running away from the present moment, all these old movements also still periodically come as wave movements. And, oh. And sometimes even the seeing is lost. Even in those in whom the new is already arising, sometimes they get lost totally in the old, deeply conditioned, collective, personal mind movement. And wake up a few hours later, a few days later, you might even be lost a few weeks. I've heard of people who got lost for a whole year. And then they couldn't stand the suffering anymore. And finally, through the suffering, they got woken up again. Oh, I tell you. It's like being in a nightmare when it gets so bad that you can't stand it anymore. Suddenly you go and you realize that you're in a bed, a warm bed. And this is a very significant term, waking up. And of course it has been used for thousands of years in spiritual teachings, awaken, because everybody knows what awakens means on one level, because everybody wakes up every morning out of sleep, and you know what that is. So there's dream, sleep, and dream, and then they go. So it's used as a kind of metaphor to describe something that is similar to waking up from sleep. But of course it's not that, because in spiritual terms, ordinary human consciousness is a kind of sleep also. To be identified completely with one's conditioned thinking and emotion, that movement, to be totally identified with that is a kind of dream, conditioned. And so most humans are still in it, but many, many more than ever before are now waking up out of that. But to see in yourself, to verify it in yourself, that it is a kind of dream to be in that. Because, and it creates a certain reality that corresponds to your conditioning. You interpret through the veil of this dream, through the old interpretations and reactions, you interpret the events and people and situations around you. So everything, it gets incorporated into the dream world. So you see nothing then as it is, because you impose your dream on it. Human beings that come into your life, situations that you are in, you don't see it as it is. You only see your story about it. And then a moment comes when you wake up and you see the possibility of relating, of being and relating without the otherwise compulsive mental interpretations that you have. Sometimes when we speak of allowing this moment to be as it is, which is the essential spiritual practice, people think what we are talking about is like allowing their interpretation of this moment. They cannot distinguish between this moment and the way in which they interpret this moment, how they personalize it. So you could be sitting on a park bench, and you may have heard this teaching that says, allow this moment to be as it is. And then you think, okay, I'm a former CEO of that company who lost his position due to evil people around him. And then soon later was left by his wife. His children don't like him. So this man is saying, okay, this moment, what I need to accept is that my life is in ruins. It's come to nothing. Here I sit, penniless, on this bench, 30 years of hard work, nothing to show for it. It's all gone. So what I need to accept now is that my life is a complete mess and totally in ruins. That's a story. So the man is confusing a story with this moment. And he is imposing a story on this moment. That's one story. There are many other possible stories. The reality is always much more simple than the story. The story is this bench, this energy field sitting here, sensing the aliveness in the inner body, the trees, the birds, the clouds, the air, the sound of the leaves in the wind, the aliveness of it all, vibrant, without needing to tell yourself anything. You sense that, you see it. This moment is the simplicity of sitting here on the park bench and watching the aliveness all around. What do you need to interpret? You accept this moment as it is, and then you put your hand in your pocket and you pull out $2. That's what I have here, $2. All right. You accept that. What else can you do? That's what is. So the story of ruined and all come to nothing and we're never going to make it anymore. All that mind movement is not part of the simplicity of now. So don't confuse when we speak of accept what is. Don't confuse a story with the simplicity of what is. What is just this here. Sense perceptions, feeling the inner body, and most importantly, something that's usually ignored, to be aware of, it's very hard to use words here, to be aware, and as I speak, there's the possibility that this is now seen, experienced by you here. As you sit here, what is the reality of this moment? You let go of the stories in your head about who you are or what your life is. That's your life situation, not your life. That's past. So and it's all a story. It's the story of me in the head that you tell yourself. I'm not talking, if it's memories are fine, but to identify with memories, then you personalize. It becomes a me. Your memories become a self. What's the reality of this moment? Here, sitting here, there are sense perceptions, auditory, the humming sound and the voice, visual sense perceptions of the room, a person sitting up here, other people in the room, the ceiling, the lights, sunlight coming in, flowers up here. And you can feel perhaps your inner body also, the aliveness that is there in your inner energy field. And underlying all that, even deeper than anything that you experience or notice at this moment, is the alert attention, the field of alert attention in which this seeing, this hearing, this sensing is happening. One could also call it a field of stillness. There's a field, an alert stillness in which your sense perceptions happen. That alert stillness is always there. Otherwise, there would be nothing. For anything to be, there needs to be consciousness in which the experience or the thought or the perception happens. So that alert underlying field is consciousness itself. And it is a revolutionary thing for a human to become aware of that, but it is also very, very subtle. It is not something that you can grasp. The mind will try to make it into some new object, and the danger, of course, is there when we talk about it, we make it into an object of consciousness because we put it into words. We make a thought out of it, out of something that is far beyond thought. So the mind thinks there is something here to grasp and hang on to or to achieve or to hold. But there isn't. It is all pervasive, the only real power in the universe, and at the same time, it is so subtle that most humans miss it entirely. They don't know that dimension. They only know that which arises in consciousness. They know it, but they identify with it. They react to it. What arises in your field of consciousness are sense perceptions, experiences, thoughts, and emotions. Sense perceptions, experiences, things happen, situations, which is also really sense perceptions, thoughts, emotions. And so they are identified with the objects that arise in consciousness, completely identified. Never knowing that deeper level, that is the very condition for the arising of anything, comes out of that. And one could describe that as stillness. The word limits it somewhat, but it's a pointer. So one could say there is in you the dimension of stillness. Has never not been there. Is not something that you need to acquire or achieve, that you could achieve in the future, in time. If you're looking to the future to achieve that dimension, enlightenment, whatever you want to call it, if you look to the future to achieve that dimension, that very looking to the future prevents you from seeing that it's already the very essence of your being now. So that's so many humans are looking to the future to look for fulfillment or enlightenment or liberation in whatever way, through $1 million or through spiritual enlightenment. That they look to the future for that And the moment you move away and look to the future for it as if it were something that you could get from someone or through some experience, you've gone away from it. Mentally, you've gone into the old conditioned mind movement, which is looking to the next thing. This is why I spoke yesterday of the vertical dimension that we are going into here. So the dimension of stillness, let's for a moment use that pointer, and let's never get attached too much to one single pointer, because then you make it into some kind of belief. And the concept satisfies you for a moment. And then I'd even say, I believe in stillness. You don't believe in stillness? You're wrong. And then somebody else says, no, it's presence, it's not stillness. There is in you that already, the stillness underneath all the mental noise and the emotional fluctuations. There is that realm of the unconditioned, pure awareness, pure consciousness. And that is, on the one hand, you could call it is the non-personal dimension of you. It is where you transcend the personal sense of self. And then you might say, I don't want to lose myself. But what you hadn't realized is you think that yourself is the story of yourself. But that is no more than thoughts. If you look very deeply and closely into what you mean when you say, I don't want to lose myself, I can feel there's something precious here that I do not want to lose. And you think that sense of something precious that I am, I cannot imagine that I'm going to die. The world, me dead. And the world without me can't be. So there is something, one feels there is something precious, and people, the fear of death comes because people believe this is going to be lost. That sense of precious, if you look closely at what that really is, you see that it is something that has become mixed up with the story that you tell yourself about who you are. The name, the psychological form of me, all the things associated with that, the story of me, the beliefs. And something has become mixed up with that, and that is the sense of I, a deeper sense of beingness that got mixed up with a story. And when you touch the realm of stillness in yourself, that is the deepest fulfillment that could be, and you realize who you truly are is that. That is the essence of your sense of I am. It has nothing to do with the story. It just got confused with the story. Sometimes people discover that whose story is destroyed by life. Life does something to you that you cannot, the story becomes totally unbearable. Everything collapses around you, so you cannot uphold the story anymore of me as somebody who has done this or has done that or has achieved that. It's all left you. Maybe the body has become ill, is collapsing. things around you are collapsing. There's nothing left that you can claim anything about, make any claim about possession, this or that. It's all gone. I don't know who I am anymore. Some people experience that realization in prison when they are stripped of everything. Everything has left them. The story has collapsed. I don't understand anything. Some people experience it when there's a sudden great disaster in their life. Suddenly, all their explanations don't work anymore. The way they had explained, they had all figured it all out, how the universe works and my place in the universe and what the importance of what I'm, my life, my work, what I've achieved and done. And suddenly, the whole thing, your whole career suddenly crumbles. Maybe something crumbles around you, and with it, that. And in the last moments of this physical form, you suddenly, all that leaves you. Your story collapses at the same time as the world around you collapses. You might be on a sinking ship or building collapsing. And at that moment, there is a corresponding inner collapse of the edifice, the mental edifice of the story of me. And what is left when that collapses is that was always there. You touch the stillness and you touch the deepest sense of being of I am. That has nothing to do with your physical form or your psychological form of me. Nothing to do with form. And there's a moment of peace and stillness. And many people who have touched death and survived miraculously, many tell the story of suddenly encountering a realm of great serenity and peace. All fear leaves them. Ah. And then they come back, and many of them have never fear death again, because they have already faced death. And so death is when the structures crumble, not only around you, but the inner structures. One way is through disaster, and another way is through, the more gentle way is through sitting here. And you've chosen that one. Other people choose the disaster, and that works very well too. And even if there was only a moment before death comes and you, that is realized, that is the flowering. Your life has flowered. Consciousness has flowered through this form and realized itself through this form. For the first time, well, not the very first, but on this planet, it's still a very rare phenomenon for this to happen. Consciousness, one could say, no, this is only a little, almost a parable, that consciousness itself is dreaming the dream of form and enjoying the dream. The entire universe is, look at the planet of the billions of life forms. Any form, that whatever you could imagine, exists or has existed at some point as a life form. Look at the oceans, how many incredible life forms live in the oceans alone.